This is the SF Productions Podcast Network. How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, Episode 198. Can a comic collector of 20 plus years get his wife to read them? Will she let him keep them? Learn more in this podcast. Let's go to the comic book lounge with Mindy and Mark.
That mind wipe really smarts. Deus Ex Spielberg, it's time for Robo Buffy, Aliens vs. Politics, Being Tommy Taylor, and it's contest time. This is How I Got My Wife to Read Comics for Sunday, March 18th, 2012. I'm Mark.
And I'm Mindy. Just a reminder, you can go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, and you can subscribe via iTunes where you can leave us a review.
And you can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter at sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP. Well, we've got some big events coming up. First off, today is the fourth anniversary of How I Got My Wife to Read Comics.
Today?
Well, just earlier this week.
Wow.
It was March 16th, 2008.
Wow.
Yep. The 200th episode is in 2 weeks. We're going to C2E2 in Chicago in mid-April.
Yay!
And then finally, Free Comic Book Day is fast approaching. That's going to be May 5th.
Yay!
So we're having a big party, but you're getting the presents in our big contest. Announcer Bot, tell them what you could win!
A Wolverine bobblehead figure. A Night Owl Classic Watchman figure. A Silver Age Perry White figure. A 24 TV series trading card set. Variant covers. And a Green Arrow Quiver by Kevin Smith hardcover. Pictures of all the prizes will be on the website. Back to you, Mark.
So how do you win? Well, you can like or share the Facebook link for this week's episode, or retweet the tweet for this week's episode, or comment on this week's episode at sfpodcastnetwork.com. Do all three to triple your chances to win.
And make sure it's for this week's episode.
Right.
So
this week's prize is a Wolverine bobblehead figure.
And all our prizes are thanks to our good friends at our local comic book shop, Pack Rat Comics.
I've been collecting comics for over 20 years, and no one matches the quality and value of Pack Rat Comics in Hilliard, Ohio. Jamie and Teresa have your favorite comics in stock, along with action figures and all kinds of comic collectibles, along with a huge lower level filled with long boxes of older titles at great prices. Pack Rat is well organized, clean, and welcoming to new customers. They also hold regular events, including a mini convention for the upcoming Free Comic Book Day. Special guests this year include Ernie Hudson from the Ghostbusters franchise and Noel Fisher from Twilight, along with over a dozen artists. So check them out on the web at packratcomics.com, facebook.com/packratcomics, or call 614-527-8450, or just drop by. They're on Latimer Street in Hilliard, Ohio, open 7 days a week. I trust Pack Rat for my weekly comic book order, and so should you. Back to you, Mindy.
So, to enter the contest, you need to like or share the Facebook post for this week's episode, retweet the tweet for this week's episode, or comment on this week's episode at sfpodcastnetwork.com. If you do all three, you'll have three chances in the contest.
Demon Knights, number 7 by Cornell and Neves. So the battle's on while the village is destroyed, basically. Vandal Savage's true nature comes out. He ends up looting the wagons of the army's wages and food. So he was apparently on the good guy's side all the time.
So I think, yes, he pretty much was. He went over there, then he distracted the army by attacking the train of supplies.
Or was that just happenstance?
I don't know, but...
So Jason Blood returns from hell with the tears of an innocent, the father Theod, who had managed to send to hell in the first place. So Xanadu drinks the tears, and she's restored to power.
Woohoo!
And meanwhile, Horsewoman gets through to Alba Saurum and warns them about what's coming, that they have to take arms. Then there's a battle between Lefay and Shining Knight, and then Xanadu steps in. We have this battle of spells. And in the end, Lefay throws a mind wipe and apparently takes out Xanadu, and then she poisons Shining Knight. Exoristos fights this battle to the end, and then Horsewoman arrives with the cavalry and kind of wins, but the question is whether all of this was actually worth the amount of carnage that's occurred and the fact that the village is gone.
Yeah, the village is pretty much completely destroyed, and they really didn't beat Morgan Le Fay.
They just got a war down to the point.
She retreated.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I'm hoping this actually has some story rather than just fighting eventually.
Right, yeah. I'd like to see more story going on. The battle was fun, and now let's move on to more story. The Ray, number 404 by Gray and Palmiotti. So things are looking pretty bleak because his girlfriend's father has been killed. He's possibly mortally wounded. And so he decides to throw this Hail Mary pass where he convinces the villain, who has the ability to change reality, to just go ahead and change reality so that everything ends up great at the end.
He less convinces the guy than hypnotizes the guy.
Right, right. So now the villain is an Oscar-winning director, and his girlfriend is the director's agent.
The Ray's girlfriend.
Right.
Yeah.
And her father is alive and well. And Ray gets a chance to make a second first impression with the parents. He's offered a job in the end in this homeland security team of heroes, and we'll see where or if that goes anywhere. I don't know if this is going back to the Freedom Fighters, since Ray's always been in the Freedom Fighters in various incarnations. I would guess that's where it's going. It's just a kind of bizarre way to end a miniseries, but it does work.
Yeah. Yeah. You had a great story, and you didn't change anything in
right.
the continuity.
Yeah.
Like a perfect half-hour sitcom.
Right. Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Season 9, Number 7 by Dark Horse. And this is by Chambliss, Janty, and Story. So Buffy moves out of the apartment and into Spike's spaceship. And now we're talking. Let's move away from the Buffy trying to be normal thing. Because that really didn't work for me at all.
Yeah.
And there's a great interaction between Buffy and Spike, and she says, well, why do alien bugs use European sockets? Because she's trying to plug something in. And he says, well, the real question is why Europeans use alien sockets.
They did have a lot of good dialogue in this one, I thought. But
the detective ends up calling in for help, and Spike says, well, Buffy can't do this anymore. She's pregnant. She has to...
Until it's taken care of.
Right, until it's taken care of, at least. And, of course, she doesn't listen. And Spike ends up admitting to Buffy he's in love with her, which is like, wow, she never figured this out.
Mm-hmm.
And in the end, a rogue vampire who they had not managed to kill rips off Buffy's arm, but it's a robotic arm. She's a robot.
It's a Buffy bot.
It's a Buffy bot.
Yes. This is a concept from the series. Mm-hmm. I didn't know if you
were
aware of
that. Yeah, I knew that.
Okay.
So how long has she been a robot? Has she been a robot this entire season?
And where is the real Buffy?
Exactly.
Maybe she was a Buffy bot during the whole Twilight thing.
Oh, that's...
Maybe Buffy is really dead.
Well, it's kind of hard to continue doing a title that way, though.
Well, there's an endless supply of Buffy bots.
So this was, I think, major change in direction of now we're into action and things are happening instead of the Buffy is sullen because she screwed up reality with the seed and now she just has to live her normal life and that just didn't work. Saucer Country, number one by Vertigo, and this is by Cornell and Kelly.
You know, one thing I noticed was that this was a $2.99 first issue.
Which normally Vertigo does like a $1 first issue.
Yeah, a lot of times they're lower in cost. And then just to jump ahead a little bit, the Unwritten was $4.99.
Well, there's a lot in there.
Yeah, I thought, is that a bigger issue? But it just kind of juxtaposed the two, you know, at the price points. I just thought that was interesting.
Yeah. This is a new Vertigo series by Paul Cornell. And it's all about Governor Arcadia Alvarado of New Mexico, who's decided or is debating about making a run for president. But something strange is going on because in the beginning, she wakes up in a car in the desert with her ex-husband. And she has hazy memories and images of aliens, maybe? Or did her ex-husband drug her, give her a roofie? We really don't know, and she doesn't know. And her advisors just tell her to keep quiet about the whole thing, and they cover it up. And then there's a second story about a Harvard professor who's having these hallucinations that include the Pioneer 10 couple. If you remember from Pioneer 10, they created this metal plate that was supposed to give aliens from some faraway galaxy some idea about humanity, included this picture of a generic man and a generic woman. And that's the couple that is kind of just perched on his lap or in front of him saying, oh, you're doing all the right things, yeah.
They tell him what to do,
right.
Yes.
Arcadia has these dreams of aliens, and she decides to keep quiet about the whole thing, at least publicly. And in the end of the first issue, she announces her run for the presidency and then tells her advisors, well, we're going to keep this quiet, but an alien invasion is coming, and we need to do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, I thought, a really intriguing concept of doing aliens juxtaposed with politics. The kind of stuff you would expect from Paul Cornell. Really enjoyed this first issue.
So we'll keep this one up.
I think so.
Okay.
Well, you just mentioned Unwritten, number 35 by Vertigo, by Carrion Gross. So it's the final battle, or at least the big battle, between Tom and the Cadre's Enforcer. And Tom uses his magic against the Enforcer, but he seems to be immune because he's also powered by words. And the Enforcer takes Tom to the Inner Temple. And this Inner Temple is from a scene in Tommy Taylor and the Golden Trumpet. So was it formed because of the book, or was the book just informed by this actual place? And the Enforcer tells this story. And we learn that he's Cain, as in Cain and Abel, the first story.
And because it was the first one, he was so powerful, and that's why the Leviathan was drawn to him.
Right, because at the time, there were so few people, and there were so few words, that you didn't need a lot of story to really supercharge you. Meanwhile, Lizzie and Richie are making their way into the pit. We find Shadron, or the Ambrosio, the he who shall be not named character, is in this tank in this temple being kept in isolation. And the Enforcer tells Tom, don't you notice you're growing younger? And suddenly he needs glasses. He's actually becoming the Tommy character.
And that's because they're like feeding the story into that Ambrosio chamber.
Right.
And he's the only, it's like isolated, so he's forming Tommy.
This reality. The Enforcer tells Tom that he was kind of set up by Lizzie at the very start, and she kind of set up all the early conditions so that he would become Tommy at the right time. And he announces that Leviathan is coming, and the Enforcer wants to destroy Leviathan. So he comes up with this spear that he powers up with words. He brings Leviathan in by confusing him with this muddled story that goes back and forth between the Cain and Abel story and the Tommy Taylor story. He then impales Tom and uses him as kind of a voodoo doll against Leviathan. Suddenly, Richie uses a rocket launcher to break into the place. And there just happened to be a rocket launcher in the other room.
Well, it was really interesting in that whole scene, too, because Lizzie kept slipping into her Tommy Taylor character.
Right, right.
She kept forgetting that they were trying to actually rescue Tom. She thought they were in the book.
Right. And Richie pulls the spear from Tom and then ends up impaling the enforcer, but it's too late because now Lizzie turns into words, actually transforms into this being of words, and then dissolves. Just a lot of stuff going on in this issue. And as you mentioned, a $4.99 issue, but there was a just packed with story.
Yeah, when I picked it up and it felt kind of heavy and I thought, well, it probably has a preview or something in it, but it doesn't.
No, it's just all story.
It's all story. But we also do get Kane being powdered at the end. He's
right.
Dead.
Yeah, he's also dead.
And we're not sure about Leviathan.
Tommy and Richie have to get out of the pit because everything's collapsing.
There's so, another 3.5 or another 0.5 issue.
There is? Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Marginalia.
So this will, I believe, wrap up that second storyline, the parallel storyline going on. Then we'll go on to issue 36. All right. Before we get out of here, it's time to play America's fastest growing new game show.
Guess who's on the cover of Entertainment Weekly? Hey, Mark, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, I'm going to press the button.
Okay. TV related?
Yes.
Okay. It's a one person on the cover?
Yes.
Okay, what, is it a human being on the cover?
Yes.
Not an animated person?
Correct.
Okay. So it's one person on the cover. Is this a reality show?
No.
So it's a fictional show?
Yes.
On one of the three major networks?
No.
On one of the four major networks?
No.
On cable?
Yes.
Yeah, on pay cable?
Yes.
Okay, pay cable, one person. And, okay, pay cable, HBO?
Yes.
All right, and this person's like the star of that series?
Yes.
HBO. Is it Game of Thrones?
It is.
Of course, I have no idea who stars in Game of Thrones.
Well, you could guess anybody in Game of Thrones because it was actually a series of five different covers.
Well, Peter Dinklage, I
exactly.
know.
Exactly, and that's who was on our cover.
Oh, okay.
There you go. And then there were, you know, four or five other people.
Okay.
So sometimes I'm tempted to watch Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Maybe I will.
Just tempted.
I got so much other stuff to watch.
Right.
Okay, I'm done talking now.
Okay, so want to remind you to go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, and a way you can enter the big contest. And that includes my blog, where I'm currently talking about both Hogan's Heroes and Star Trek The Next Generation. You can subscribe via iTunes, and please leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter at sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9-SFP.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.